Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Good.
It's good to be back here with you again on another Sunday evening.
Yeah, great to be here. We had kind of an exciting but sobering show last week.
Yeah.
And time goes by so fast, but
it
still
does.
Thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a, if you haven't heard it, you can go to giftofgraceministries.org and find it. But we kind of gave an overview of what the world is like today. And if you're a believer, you don't need us to tell you that. But one of the, and you know, Steve started out last week's show with a great quote about, you know, keeping the love of Jesus in mind, no matter what's going on.
Right. Always trusting in it.
Always trusting in it. And, we're going to go to John chapter 10. You mm-hmm. all know this chapter. And if you don't, you need to spend more time studying the word.
There you go. I like how subtle you said that.
Yeah.
Just eased right into that.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, this isn't like knowing what, you know,
yeah.
Obadiah says in chapter 2.
True.
We should do a show about Obadiah.
Oh, man, nobody talks about Obadiah.
No, anymore. He's probably, he probably feels bad.
Anyway.
But anyway.
There we go.
But John we talk about a lot.
We do.
John's, what a great gospel this is.
Yeah.
All of John's gospel is so powerful. But chapter 10, we have this really great picture that Jesus sets up, talking about sheep and shepherds and hearing the voice. And why don't we start by reading?
I think we should read more than like verse 1 through 10.
Yeah, about yeah. 1 through 10. That's
sure.
good.
Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate but climbs over elsewhere is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice, as he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has driven out all his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him because they do not recognize the voice of strangers. Although Jesus used this figure of speech, they did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So Jesus said again, Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. I'm going to finish this. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
there's a lot in there.
Well, we all know that there's the metaphor of sheep that's commonly used.
Right.
Because we resemble sheep a lot. Sheep are stupid.
More than we like to admit.
Yeah, sheep are stupid. They can't defend themselves.
Yep.
They can't run. They won't lie down unless they've eaten a ton of stuff. They won't stand in water that's moving. They won't drink from water that's moving because they have terrible balance and water scares them. So they'll only drink from still water. They'll only lie down and... We could do a show about Psalm 23, which is, that's why these lines in Psalm 23 come, because that's how sheep are.
Yeah.
I mean, a sheep will go over the edge of a cliff if it sees a little piece of grass it wants to eat that's over the edge of the cliff, and it doesn't have any way to keep its balance.
Right. But it won't drink water from.
But it won't. Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course they'll wander off, you know, if there's a flock of sheep together, they'll go off in all kinds of directions because mm-hmm. that's just how they are.
Yeah.
And this is why you need a shepherd. And so this metaphor of sheep is used many, many times. And here Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. And he starts out by talking about false shepherds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody who came before was a thief and a robber. And everybody who came before was a false shepherd.
Yeah.
So, you know, he could be talking about them. Because after all, you know, our word pastor comes from the Latin word for a shepherd.
Right.
And we use that, you know, as a title and
right.
as a description of what they do. And the Pharisees were like the false shepherds he was talking about.
Yeah.
And they were standing there listening to this, thinking, wait a minute, is he talking about us? Because after all, we're the ones that have the authority here.
Right.
He didn't have any authority. Who does he think he is?
Right.
Talking about us. But that, you know, but because he always uses examples that people would know and understand.
Right.
Everybody in this culture would have known about sheep and shepherds. And everybody would have known all the agricultural things that go through the whole scripture.
Right.
You know, if you were born and raised in New York City, you don't know much about sheep and shepherds and you don't know much about barley harvests. And, but you know, if you're born in the middle of, you know, Nebraska, you have a much better understanding of this.
Right.
And so he knows how to get people's attention mm-hmm. so that they think, well, I understand what he's getting at because I know how sheep behave.
Mm-hmm.
And so these people did. And, you know, he starts and continuing from what we talked about last week, he talks about how he's the true shepherd. He's the one that can go into the door. And he says, amen, amen, or most assuredly, whatever your translation says.
Right.
So this is an authoritative thing that basically in Hebrew, when you repeat something, it means pay attention to what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because this is important. So he says, mm-hmm. amen, amen. So what I'm telling you is true and you better listen. You know, there's only one way. There's only one leader that the sheep can follow. All the other ones are thieves. They're false leaders. They came right. in a different way. But I can come through the door.
Yeah.
Not try to climb over the wall, not come through some deceitful way, some unlawful way. And the one who has authority comes in through the true door. The one yeah. that has authority opens the sheep gate.
Yeah. You know, as you're talking and I'm reflecting on the opening reading of John 10, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate but climbs over elsewhere is a thief and a robber.
Mm.
There is a legal process for things to take place.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a proper order that God sets forth. And when his sheep don't know that, they try and make up their own rules and their yeah. own laws,
mm-hmm.
and they're led astray.
Mm.
And so it's very important that, as Jesus says, the sheep are trained to hear the shepherd's voice.
Mm-hmm.
They know the voice. They trust the voice. They're going to follow the voice. But if you never listen to or never talk to the shepherd, how do you know his voice?
Yes. Yes.
And so, sadly, there's many in our culture who rely on their own understanding of who they think God is,
mm-hmm.
but have no idea really of who he is at all. They don't know his voice, and they will make up their own ideas of who God is,
uh-huh.
and they will follow that.
Mm-hmm.
And what you've done is you've made an idol.
Yes.
You've made a false god, and you're following your own false teaching
mm-hmm.
because you really don't know the shepherd. And thus, when the evil one talks and speaks, and he's going to, you hear that voice and you get confused.
Yes.
And you run off after that voice.
And after a while, you get used to that voice.
And you get used to that voice. And then you think you're being led by the, and you're not. You're not being led by the shepherd at all. But it's very, you know, as we talked last week about what we face in our culture, you know, John 10:10 really, I think, exemplifies where Jesus is saying, my sheep know my voice. They yes. recognize me and they're yes. going to follow me. And they're not going to follow the voice of a stranger.
Yes.
But yet, many of us do.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
And if you listen to his voice, it says, I call my sheep by name.
Yeah.
So he knows who you are.
Exactly.
If you are communicating with him, you have a relationship with him, and you're listening for him to tell you something, you're going to be, you know that voice. And some of the examples we used, you know, last week, when you're grounded in this, you know, his word, which is his voice, it's all spoken, and somebody tells you something that's absolutely outrageous, you know immediately that that's absolutely outrageous. Because like you say, you know this isn't his voice, this is an enemy's voice, this is the wolf's voice, this is the false voice. And he's coming in to, the point he makes is, you know, when somebody goes in to get the sheep, he's coming to do something good for the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to take them out to the pasture.
Yeah.
He's going to feed them. He's going to take care of them. He's going to get them water.
Yeah.
He's going to keep them together. He's going to protect them from the wolf.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to protect them from whatever other enemies they had. I don't know, but the wolf's kind of the most common one.
Right.
Because, and he's going to keep them together.
Yeah.
Which is another thing where, you know, people say, well, you know what? I don't feel like I have to go to church. You know, I can pray over there. And that's true. You can pray over there. But there's something about the community of the sheep.
Communal worship. Yeah.
That the shepherd interacts with us that way.
Well, you know, and you say that, but it goes to it even goes to as a family.
Yeah.
You didn't get here by yourself.
Right. Yeah.
You just didn't somehow appear.
Yes.
Your mother and father made you.
Yes.
Out of love.
Yes.
And their mothers and fathers made them out of love.
Yeah.
So we're all, you know, there's a connection genetically with the family,
mm-hmm.
and there's a community that's there.
And even if you're estranged from your parents, that's how you got here.
Exactly. Whether you're estranged from your parents or not, yeah, that's a different issue.
Yeah.
That's repairable, but for the most part. But as you're talking, the body of Christ, we don't think about the spiritual body of Christ in the same manner
mm-hmm.
as a physical, earthly human body or a family.
Good point.
And many times, how many people, you know, you can go to any church you want to on a Sunday morning, look at the pews, and it's full of people. Different families make up those mm-hmm. congregations.
Mm-hmm.
But do they really believe that they're connected in and through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the Passover sacrifice that took place?
Mm.
That they are the family united through Christ's body and blood.
Wow. That's awesome.
No, they think of themselves as their own individual family unit here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the Smiths or the Johnsons or whatever, you know. And there's more than just Smiths and Johnsons, but we don't think of ourselves as, that's my brother in Christ. That's mm-hmm. my sister in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because in our culture, we go, oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
I don't know you.
Yeah.
You know, how can you say you love your you know, if you how can you say you know you love your brother but you or you love,
you love God,
God
but
you
hate your brother.
But you hate your brother. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean, so in some churches you say hello and the guy looks at you like, "Why are you saying hello to me?"
Yeah, you know, there's the old you know, everybody talks about being welcome in the church, you know,
yeah.
welcoming the stranger or welcoming yeah. a new parishioner or something like that. And the first thing they'll do is when they get in the church, they go, what are you doing in my pew?
Well, yeah,
that's my seat.
I sit
there. And you always hear this at Christmas and Easter, go, be welcoming to everybody. Okay, Merry Christmas. Yeah, get out of my pew. Unless we digress.
We were in a church not long ago in Jacksonville, Florida, when we were there for Paul Wilbur Ministries. And we sat down in this pew and we were all ready for the service to start. And this elderly lady came up, tapped me on the shoulder and said, this is my pew. And I looked at her and she looked at me like, seriously, this is my pew.
Oh my gosh.
So my wife and I looked at each other like, are we going to really fight with this old lady? So we moved.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, we're creatures of habit.
But, you know, she, just like the sheep need men's care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't just have a flock of sheep. You know, David was a shepherd. Moses was a shepherd. Jesus is the shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't just put a flock of sheep out and say, okay, we'll see you guys later.
Right.
They need constant care, just like we need the care of the Creator.
Yeah.
If we're not going to go out into all these other paths like we were talking about last week. And so a congregation, a church of sheep needs a shepherd. This is why we call them pastors,
and
needs a shepherd to take care of the group.
And what better way to distract the sheep than to keep them enormously busy and distracted with all kinds of stuff?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
And those, and the warnings about false shepherds that, you know, we read about last week from Jeremiah and Ezekiel has them. And I mean, there are a lot of places. Paul and John said, you know, as soon as we leave here, there's going to be false teachers coming. And there were.
And it didn't take long.
It didn't take long.
No.
But these are shepherds that then took people who weren't really grounded and said, well, you know, Paul told us something different, but this guy seems to make more sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe, you know, maybe this guy's right. I don't know. Yeah, I think this guy's right.
And see, it goes into the parable of the sower, the condition of the soil, the condition of the heart. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, as we generally talked about this, you and I talked about, you know, talking about this subject matter off the air, you can see how that it really goes into the whole Word of God and how important it is to understand God's word, so that you, when you get to one point, you go, well, geez, how does this connect to it? Well,
yeah,
that's where it connects. The condition of our hearts has to be good and fertile soil so that when God's word is proclaimed and the seed of his word falls upon our heart, it's going to take root and it's going to bear a harvest. It's going to bear fruit.
Exactly.
So if you don't know the shepherd's voice and you're not there being nourished, you're not going to produce a harvest for the kingdom. Thus, you're not going to have the joy that like St. Paul had or St. Peter had, where they were willing to go to. They were willing. They rejoiced that they were, that when they were called before the Sanhedrin or before the Pharisees, that they were found to be worthy to be persecuted for the name of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Peter and John were happy.
They were happy. So that's the pure joy. But I want to read from Psalm 33 because I think it ties into what we're talking here. And it's Psalm 33 is at verse 1. Rejoice, you righteous in the Lord. Praise from the upright is fitting. Give thanks to the Lord on the harp. On the 10-string lyre, offer praise. Sing to him a new song. Skillfully play with joyful chant. For the Lord's word is upright. All his works are trustworthy. He loves justice and right. The earth is full of the mercy of the Lord. By the Lord's word, the heavens were made, by the breath of his mouth, all their host. He gathered the waters of the sea as a mound. He sets the deep into storage vaults. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all who dwell in the world show him reverence. Hmm. For he spoke and it came to be, commanded and it stood in place. The Lord foils the plan of nations, frustrates the designs of peoples. But the plan of the Lord stands forever, the designs of his heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people chosen as his inheritance. From heaven the Lord looks down and observes the children of Adam. From his dwelling place he surveys all who dwell on earth. The one who fashioned together their hearts is the one who knows all their works. A king is not saved by a great army, nor a warrior delivered by great strength. Useless is the horse for safety. Despite its great strength, it cannot be saved. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon those who fear him, upon those who count on his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive through famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For in him our hearts rejoice. In his holy name we trust. May your mercy, Lord, be upon us as we put our hope in you.
Yeah, that
you know, unless our trust and our hope is in the Lord, we can put our hope into vain things.
Yes.
Certainly, you know, there's people we aspire to or want to follow, and because they're a good role model, etc. But not everybody fits into that category.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people follow people that aren't good role models for whatever reason.
Yeah.
You know, does it go back to hearing the voice of the shepherd, yes. not knowing the shepherd?
Yes.
Who do you want to exemplify? Yes.
And the shepherd's coming to do good things for you.
Yeah.
You're his sheep. You know, he talks about my sheep, my pasture, and a lot of those passages in
right.
Jeremiah and Ezekiel, because he knows, and in this passage it says, you know, I call my sheep by name because we're his sheep.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not his sheep, you don't hear the voice.
Right.
If you're his sheep, you hear the voice. And the other thing I think is cool in that passage is it says that he leads them out, doesn't drive them out, you know, doesn't take that hook thing and, you know, beat them till they start moving.
Yeah.
Cause once you hear his voice and he says, okay, let's go out to the pasture, you follow him.
Yeah.
Or if he says, okay, let's go over to the pond and get some water, you go. The sheep follow him. They follow him to where he's going. They won't follow a stranger if they don't know him. Now, if you don't know him from the beginning, if you don't know how to hear his voice, as you said earlier, you'll follow whoever's voice you hear.
Yeah.
And then after a while, that voice will become the voice you're used to.
Yeah.
Which is, oh, you can't be listening to these people. They're talking about stuff that happened 2,000, 3,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Come on. Nobody believes that anymore. That's ridiculous. You better get with it, man.
They plant the seed of doubt.
Yes. And it can't be that way. Because after all, the Bible is written for primitive people. And things have changed a lot. We're not primitive anymore. And if that becomes the voice, then you'll follow that voice. So when you hear one of the true, you know, when you hear one of the sheep that hears his with a capital H's voice
mm-hmm.
say, you know, you really shouldn't be doing that because this is wrong and this is right. The person who hears the false voice says, oh, you don't know what you're talking about because I understand this. You obviously don't understand this. And instead of fleeing from the stranger, they follow the stranger.
Yeah. You know, and I love in Psalm 33 where it says in verse 15, the one who fashioned together their hearts is the one who knows all their works.
Yes, exactly.
There's nothing hidden from God.
That's right.
Nothing at all.
He knows every word we say before it's formed.
Yeah.
He knows all our days before one of them has lived.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He knows every hair on our heads, even though we don't have as many.
Yeah, too many, yeah.
But a king is not saved by a great army, nor a warrior delivered by great strength.
Mm.
Useless is the horse for safety. Despite its great strength, it cannot be saved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in their day, the horse was, I mean, a horse is a strong animal.
Mm-hmm.
And they rode horses into battle.
Yeah.
But despite its power, it cannot save you.
Yes.
Only Jesus Christ can.
Amen.
And we can put our hope and our trust in vain things.
Yes.
And we can be led astray by those things because that becomes our God. Mm-hmm. We follow it, you know, unconditionally. And, you know, when someone says, you know, or someone brings the word of God to you and you reject it because you have preconceived ideas about it, this is where Jesus in John chapter 10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's no different than what happened to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
Did God really tell you that?
Yeah, that's right.
Certainly he knows.
Plants the doubt.
Certainly he knows as soon as you take a bite of that fruit, yeah. aha, you're going to be just mm-hmm. like God.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't want that because yeah. he wants to be...
Yeah.
He wants to have control over you.
Yeah. And these people he was talking to, it says in verse 6, they didn't get it. They didn't get what he was talking about.
Yeah.
Because they don't know his voice.
Right.
They got their own voice. They're the educated people. They're conceited about their own knowledge. They don't get all these metaphors and parables.
Right.
It's like, who does this guy think he is? So then he explains it to them. And, you know, for people to say, oh, you know, you Christians are so narrow-minded, you know, he points out here, he's the only one who can go into the sheepfold and lead the sheep out. Everybody else is a robber and a thief
yeah.
and a marauder and a false shepherd. He's the only true shepherd. The music is already playing.
I know.
I'm on a roll. Anyway,
yeah.
Hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that you would Ask the Lord to hear his voice, for he is the good shepherd, and he will lead you into pasture and give you rest, and he will feed you. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gileadi and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.